very good Thursday afternoon to you. Adam Lepp here live in beautiful, historic, and somewhat fall-like Marion, Ohio with the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. We get together every Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2:13 p.m. and 3 to talk today's top and trendy and sometimes tumultuous technological topics. I'd like to say hello to Jason W., a longtime friend of mine, who I believe is somewhere in the Grove City, between Grove City and downtown Columbus. Just a little teeny tiny bit to our south. Watching me here on a live Facebook video. That's how we are here. You watch a live video, and I will give you a shout out because we really appreciate every single one of you, your ears, your brain cells, and any other body parts involved in listening to this radio station. We are the Talking Place, WWGH, broadcasting talk, news, opinions, and everything in between that 24/7, 365, and 366 during leap years. So you might wonder, what do we do here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program? That is a very, very good question, because maybe this is the first time you've had the pleasure or the displeasure of listening. And that's okay. We invite newbies, old bees, and everything in between. While we talk technological topics, that's traditionally what I have done on this program. But, you know, it's a kind of a crazy political climate out there, not just in the state, in this great country, but right here in Marion. One of the, I would say, biggest and possibly most controversial and most followed cases here in Marion County, in Marion City, has taken place with the sentence handed down to now former Judge Jason Warner and his wife for leaving the scene of an accident when they were intoxicated. They received at least 6 months in jail for a two-year sentence. They're eligible, in my understanding, for early release and parole after that half-year period. That was a well-watched case on Facebook video. It has made regional headlines, if not national headlines, and I think puts Marion on the map, although not really in a good way. But we learn from our mistakes, and we understand that even public officials, even people we respect, like judges, people in the legal business, they're not perfect. But when you do something very bad, you need to own up to it, and that's what that case was about. So if you want to call and talk about the Jason and Mrs. Warner case, the sentence, their behavior, their attorney's behavior, Mr. Szymanski, and the judge has become a bit of a pop culture hero, as I agree. She was excellent coming out of retirement to hear this case, and she certainly laid it on the table, and we pretty much know how she feels. And so if you'd like to discuss that, well, just about everybody agrees that either they were punished appropriately or maybe not even strictly enough, but maybe you feel differently. Maybe you feel that they were given too harsh of a sentence. Is a judge somebody who should set an example? And Mrs. Warner was a school teacher, someone else we expect to set an example of dignity and appropriate, mature, responsible behavior. So give me a call. I'd love to talk to you about that or anything else on your mind. You know, the mask issue, the forced closures issue, the vaccinations, that's a biggie, and I don't see that going away anytime in the near future. For those of you who follow me on Facebook, you are aware of my opinion on those three issues, a sometimes controversial opinion, what I think, though, is agreed with by more people than you might think. So if you agree with me, don't agree with me, or maybe you don't know what my opinion is, you're welcome to call, and we can chit-chat about it. Also, again, I'm on a live Facebook video. I want to say hello to Amanda, who I believe is related to me. I do believe she is a rather close relative, and she is listening probably in Queens in New York City, the city which never sleeps. Of course, New York City has five counties, and Queens is a little more like a large Midwestern city than Manhattan, but certainly there is plenty of hubbub and hustle and bustle, no matter where you go in the great Big Apple, NYC. Interesting place, and you know, our very own interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, stopped by and visited the Manhattan penthouse of Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas just a few weeks ago, and that interview airs periodically here on The Talking Place, and never quite know what we're going to do here at WWGH Radio. But on this program, we like to send a shout-out to those who do listen, to those who have commented, and invite you to call with your opinion, question, comment, complaint, or a combination of the above. Again, if you follow me on Facebook, I'm on live Facebook video doing the program. Sorry, I kind of have headphone hair, but it's kind of like baseball cap hair. But, you know, it's baseball season, so that's okay. Adam the Computer Guy or Adam Lepp in Ohio, that's where you can find me. If you want to talk about any of these topics, again, feel free to ring me up. See, here's the phone and a little telephone here on the station. And the phone number is 740-383-9944. Technology certainly is a news area that we all follow, as technology is part of our world, and it's obviously not going to go away. In fact, the impact of technology is going to increase, and likely increase, every second. One thing that we always talk about on this program, when we do technology news, is safety. As you have probably received phone calls from places that, or emails, or messages, which say that your bank, the IRS, whatever, and they want your password, your social security number, or what else? Well, if it smells like a rat, it probably is. I can assure you of that. And we will never get rid of those intrusions altogether. The bad actors will be out there permanently. It's how do we control them? And how do we make sure that people understand that when you do get a correspondence, an instant message, a text, a call, an email from these places, that you are receiving something which is fake, and the best thing to do is hang up the telephone, click the delete button, or click the X in the upper right-hand corner. Of course, sometimes when I get these phone calls, I use language which you are not allowed to use on the radio, and sometimes it scares them off, sometimes they reply, sometimes they use the same kind of language back, and most of the time they just hang up. The larger the internet superhighway of information grows, the more users get run over by privacy abuses and stolen data. If only we could rebuild the internet's infrastructure to make data's journey safer and more secure is a common cry of information technology and cybersecurity experts. Some efforts are underway to mitigate the privacy and data theft issues, but despite the occasional proposals that have cropped up over the years to replace the internet with a new and improved superhighway, current projects are akin to patching potholes and repaving lanes on physical transit roadways. And that's a rather daunting task, to say the least. Again, if you'd like to comment or talk about another topic, feel free to chime in. Don't be shy. I don't bite. At least not very hard. And the phone number is 740-383-9944. One thing you can also do is play Stump the DJ. In previous radio jobs, I played music, and I do claim to be a walking encyclopedia of music of all genres, R&B, disco, hard rock, soft rock, country pop, etc., from 1973 to 1987. Sing a few bars of a song, mention an album, an artist, ask what band this person is in, what instrument he or she plays, or ask me approximately how well a song charted, and I'll see if I'm really as smart as I think I am. So feel free to do that. Play Stump the DJ, and I don't mind being stumped, because when you do get stumped, you learn something. 740-383-9944. Anyway, talking about the information superhighway, the internet superhighway, as it grows and grows and grows, what do we do to make it better? Or maybe to replace it altogether. A recent study from Consumer Reports Digital Lab reveals that 96% of Americans agree that more should be done to protect consumer privacy. But don't expect to see a whole new alternative internet emerging anytime soon. And you know, Consumer Reports, they're pretty reliable. I've been reading them since I was a kid. And they are unbiased, they don't accept advertising, so as I see it, anything which they publish or prognosticate or propose, I'm going to pay attention to. So according to Consumer Reports and their Digital Lab, instead of a new alternative internet or new information superhighway, they think you will see a focus on software offerings built around privacy and security rather than hardware. These patches, including new alternative search, browsers, email, chat, productivity, payments, and advertising solutions. There's got to be advertising. No complaint about that. It certainly keeps the radio and television business alive by selling advertising, and when people use the products and services in the advertisement, everybody wins. So the internet kind of works in the same way. Anyway, last October, Consumer Reports in their Digital Lab division launched an app built on its new privacy protocol. The new standard will attempt to change how online vendors and companies wheel and deal with the personal information of billions of internet users. The goal is to take control of your user information from others and give it back to you. Every bit of personal information online is acquired, stored, organized, and used to sell, track, and even profile everybody on the internet, including you. Well, isn't that nice? They're interested in profiling, finding out, and in general, being nosy about me. I guess I'm a much more interesting person than I purport to be. I'd like to thank Sandy for watching. Now, Sandy is probably one of the biggest VIPs ever to watch me on video, and you might ask why. Well, she was one of my regular listeners when I worked in broadcasting between 1985 and 1987 up in Governor, New York, which is kind of between Lake Placid, New York, where they had the Olympics in 1980, and Ottawa, Ontario, the capital of the great country of Canada. She and her family would listen intently. They would call when I would have a contest. They would try to stump me with trivia. They were some of the most dedicated listeners ever to use ears and brain cells to enjoy the dulcet tones, wisecracks, and other things coming out of my mouth. So I do want to thank you, Sandy, for watching and still being such a good friend. Very much appreciated. You know, time may go by, people may change, but the loyalty, that doesn't change. And as radio evolves, we find newer, better, and more fun things to do. In discussing the ills of affecting the internet, a number of workaround solutions are already available, according to the experts. Again, is the internet broken? Well, according to some people, it is. For example, you can de-Google a phone. I'm not sure what that involves, but de-Googling a phone, I guess getting rid of the Google experience, that certainly is a big part of an Android phone, which is the kind that I use. Earlier this year, E. Foundation offered the first of those phones. OSOM Products is expected to have more of those de-Googled phones later this year. These phones will not be nosy with respect to capturing your data, using your search history to provide you with ads specific to your expected needs and desires. Essentially, it will not be nosy like phones tend to be. And Google especially, they pretty much attach everything that you've done and use it to customize your experience, which can be good. It can be bad. If you're looking for a plumber, it might provide you with ads for local plumbers. You might find a good deal, but you might also find that to be annoying and intrusive. And of course, are they selling your data? Of course, they tend to lie also if they're going to sell it. So who knows who's telling the truth? But bottom line is, if you want to keep Google out of your life, which seems almost impossible in mid-2021, you apparently can get one of these de-Googled phones. Also, a patching solution is coming for messaging apps. Signal and Telegram last year led the way for private messaging by offering end-to-end encryption. This year, the new generation of messaging apps will actually allow you to remove your messages from someone else's phone if you so choose. It's kind of like unsending a text, unsending a Facebook message. You can unsend it, but the person may have already archived it. So this kind of takes it a step further. And, you know, we all regret some of the things that we might say on a message. We might accidentally hit the enter key. We might use, as I do a lot, the speech to text. And the speech to text does not accurately transcribe what you said. This will kind of fix that predicament. So your messages essentially will always belong solely to you. File sharing improvements are also coming in 2021. It will bring true peer-to-peer file sharing. Completely encrypted files can be transmitted without being stored forever on a server in the cloud. So you kind of wonder, when you use these cloud-based systems that store and process information over the internet or over the cloud, what does it do with your information? Does it delete it? Does it store it? Does someone sit there looking at it and giggling at it? You really don't know. And again, these places, they don't tell the truth. But we're hoping to increase the privacy and disposability of this information. Last year, we started to see the rise in private social media sites built on the likes of Mastodon. Conservatives found themselves increasingly censored on YouTube and Facebook. So they turned to Parler, which is a Facebook-type app, but it is favored by those on the right side of politics. But again, it's open to everybody. This trend is expected, not surprisingly, to continue in 2021, as social media sites allow more nuanced categorization of people instead of just followers and friends. These groups can be used across multiple apps, making them far more interesting, as well as useful and fun. Currently, according to the experts, your data is spread all over the internet. Now, what a surprise, right? Even me speaking right now as we broadcast online. I'm sure someone is sitting there taping what I'm saying, analyzing it, archiving it, and hopefully giggling just a few times. Fortunately, there are new companies being created that help you take that data back. For example, last year, Mine announced that it can figure out which companies have your data. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be a little bit scary to find out exactly who has all of my personal information that is none of their beeswax? Well, anyway, Mine said they can probably do that. Also find out how potentially vulnerable your data is and how to remove it from these company servers. According to Sandy, again, a person who has listened to me off and on since 1985. Can you believe that? 36 years ago. I mean, I was out of radio for a little bit, but she was a very faithful listener along with her family back in the mid-80s, and she would like to inform me that her niece, her brother Ron's, of course Ron was like a teenager when they used to listen, but now Ron has a daughter, and Ron's daughter is in here listening. And I guess that would be her niece, and her daughter's name is Amanda. Amanda is also the name of the close relative of mine from the East Coast who was watching earlier. It must be the name of the day. Amanda. Well, that's a good name. Nice, easy to remember, and very close to the top of the alphabet. So we thank the multiple generations of Sandy's family for listening, and welcome aboard. Yes, I'm the same person, Amanda, that your Aunt Sandy listened to back in the mid-80s, back when Wham and Madonna and Bruce Springsteen and Michael Jackson were just huge. And basically Madonna, she's still pretty big. She's in her 60s now, but she's still as good as ever. She doesn't look too bad either. Anyway, we talked about Mine, which is a company which can figure out which companies have your data and how potentially vulnerable your data is, and perhaps most importantly, how to remove it from these companies' servers. That is, so they do not store your data, because it really, again, is none of their beeswax. Many companies will see a devaluation of their mass data stores and may be forced to turn to different business models. When you have true privacy and the ability to take information back new exciting apps will emerge in this space. An example is a voting app that lets you take polls among your friends privately and anonymously. Now, there are three types of basic solutions that have been in place for decades in dealing with protecting data sent over the internet. One is called TLS, which you may be familiar with. It's a part of the SSL protocol, the Secure Sockets, or what we call the HTTPS protocol. It stands for Transparent Layer Security. Or a virtual private network, which you may have also heard of. It's being used a lot as people work remotely, a VPN. They encrypt the data within the walls of an application and create application-level access control models and processes that follow them. That's kind of deep, but the bottom line is these are security protocols that are designed and expected to protect your data, protect your privacy as you exchange things over the great thing that we call the internet. More recently, protocols like the Signal protocol have allowed types of use cases like instant messaging to use the same cryptology and software to provide end-to-end encryption. Signal, Skype, and WhatsApp, a rapidly increasing in popularity messaging protocol, they use Signal. But unfortunately, you cannot send an instant message from Signal to Skype or WhatsApp. Additionally, end-to-end encryption is not quite enough. So again, it certainly is good in theory and effective for the most part, but not perfect. And we want to keep fine-tuning this and make it as effective as possible. Whether for business or private use, how privacy is handled by messaging and other apps can be a moving target. For example, consider the public flare-up and migration of users from WhatsApp to the privacy-first chat app Signal earlier this year. Now, WhatsApp claims it is end-to-end encrypted, and the bulk of activity on the app is. But the fact that Facebook can know when you use the app and who you chatted with was, to millions of people, enough to lose customer trust. Giving back the keys to the owners of the data and separating the bond between data and the application layers are game changers. But providing a platform and software development kit for front-end developers to design new experiences without having to focus on the infrastructure and complexities of cryptographic exchanges is what has us all excited in the security community, and according to the experts. So again, you really can't ever skimp on security. You can really never make it too secure because you never quite know what's going on there. And as previously mentioned, some of these places are a little bit less than truthful. But the opinion, and I would agree with this, is we don't need to replace the internet. We just need to make it better. Make it more secure. Stop making people worry about privacy every time that they click the mouse. Technology industries only need to prioritize their resources on developing better ways to enhance their cybersecurity policies, as well as reduce the risk for attacks. And that comes from Stephen Light. He is the owner of Nola, an e-commerce reseller of mattresses and bedding supplies. The internet's current security, according to Stephen Light, is sufficient to restrict users who do not know how to bypass cybersecurity. However, the situation is not the same for experienced hackers who can get into a system, as long as they are patient and careful of not being detected. Fixing the internet is an ambitious objective. It's also a little bit like changing tires while the car is moving. And that comes from Purinder Das, the CEO and co-founder of Sotero, an encryption-based security company. He said, "What is more important is that organizations adopt a more meaningful strategy to security and privacy as it relates to consumers, establishing an equal footing for security and privacy on par with technical capability and revenue streams is critical. Something has to change with how we are handling internet security. And that comes from Daivat Dolakia from Forspy Mohio, a GPS fleet tracking service for small business. He said, many people have no idea just how vulnerable their personal and sensitive information is to hackers and other cybercriminals. Sometimes we bury our head in the sand like an ostrich. We don't realize that there are hackers out there trying to sniff out our personal details. So again, always helps to try to be one step ahead of them, to be proactive. And if it smells like a rat, it probably is. He said, while companies like Facebook tend to emphasize the importance of individual control over security settings, the real responsibility lies with the giant tech companies that handle our information every day. They need to be more transparent about to whom they are giving and selling your information, and they need to beef up their cybersecurity divisions. Mr. Dolakia thinks an immense upgrade in internet security is inevitable, but that will be a multi-year-long project, complicated by the fact that the companies buying and using data have a vested interest in privacy settings staying turned off or inaccessible. He said, at the end of the day, I don't think the internet is going anywhere, but I think in 10 years, we will be using a markedly different kind of internet. Rather than creating an entirely new internet from the ground up, privacy-first companies are applying proven and well-understood technology alternatives that share a thesis around no surveillance and putting people in control of their data. While the At Company focuses on a new protocol for the secure exchange of information, other examples include Mozilla and Brave as the browsers, the DuckDuckGo search, which we've talked about a few times. DuckDuckGo has a way of not capturing, attaching, saving your information like Google and some of the other search engines do. Once you search, it is off their servers, or at least they claim. Personally, I do believe them, but again, there are claims of privacy and encryption, and it's good to do a little bit of research. Ask your friendly neighborhood computer tech just to be sure that what they're promising is what you're getting. The typical consumer does not think about privacy, but rather about convenience, information, inspiration, and entertainment from using the internet. Even if security or privacy becomes a pain point, the typical consumer may not act to replace a solution until the pain of inconvenience or bad experience exceeds the good experience. So, rather than wait for an internet Armageddon, we prefer providing user experiences that meet and hopefully exceed what people are currently getting from incumbent utility app providers. We find that the privacy-first players that are getting significant traction have created strong bridging experiences that allow people to try an alternative. If the bridging experiences meet expectations around good user experience, some will be instantly won over, but most will gradually integrate over time until they have entirely replaced their previous app with an alternative. So some excellent perspectives from experts in the data security and privacy and encryption business. It's a tricky thing to be in because you do want to use the internet, take advantage of essentially the Encyclopedia Britannica at your fingertips, all these great videos, all this great music and trivia, other stuff. But you also want to be sure you're safe online and keep your kids safe online because sometimes they do things which they need to be watched over, to put it mildly. But again, some adults sometimes don't make the most secure decisions online. You're never really too old to learn, are you? So interesting perspectives for you here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. And we get together, well, basically three times a week. We have mid-morning coffee break where we discuss politics, current events, quirky news, and technology, and other stuff. Between about 10:15 a.m. and 11 every Monday, right here at this radio station. And on Tuesday and Thursday, the Adam the Computer Guy radio program between approximately 2:15 and 3 p.m. And that's what you're listening to right now, because it is between 2:15 and 3 p.m. on Thursday, the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. We're also broadcasting a live video on my Facebook, Adam Leppin, Ohio, or Adam the Computer Guy. Just look me up if you're not already acquainted with me that way. I want to remind you that we have great programming for you every single day, Monday through Friday, between 8:13 a.m. and 9. It is our very own interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears, with the Scott Spears Morning Radio Extravaganza. Actually, it's just called The Morning Show, or also called Now. Whatever you want to call it, Scott Spears talks to important celebrities, people from around the community. For example, today, he talked to Prosecutor Ray Grogan and Sheriff Bales about the Jason Warner and Mrs. Warner case and decision. Outstanding interviews. That guy, Scott, is one of the best interviewers I've ever had the chance to listen to, let alone to work with. And I really want to thank Prosecutor Grogan and Sheriff Matt Bales for taking time out of their busy schedules this morning to talk to Scott. Excellent interview. And if you do ever miss a show on this radio station, that's okay. We won't spank you or anything. Just go to our website. And by the way, the website is hosted, curated, programmed, and in general, taken care of by yours truly. And you can visit that website by going to WWGH1071.com. Also, just like Hillary and Melania, we have a private email server in which you can email me and other people that work at this radio station. My email address is adam@WWGH1071.com. I would very much love to hear from you. Email me just to say hi, how you doing? Ask me a question, provide a complaint, question, comment, or combination of the above. It is all cool with me. You know, it's springtime out there, a little nippy today, but not too bad. A good day to get some yard work done, do some spring cleaning, and I'm sure the 70-degree temperatures will return before long. The Marion County Park District is a great friend to this radio station. The Marion Tallgrass Trail, one of the great natural resources here in Mid-Ohio. They have a excellent program, multiple events in April. Earlier today, there was a park trash pickup at the Tallgrass Trail. On Saturday, the 17th, is Earth Day Packet Pickup at the Tallgrass Trail between 1 and 3 p.m. Come on out to the trailhead and pick up your Earth Day packets that have lesson and crafts. There is a limited supply. April 20th, listen to Frog and Toad Calls. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. See, I can kind of talk like a frog, but not as well as a real frog. Anyway, on April 20th, which I believe is Tuesday of next week, listen to Frog and Toad Calls at the Tallgrass Trail at 6 p.m. starting at the Hur Road parking lot. And April 29th, mark your calendars, folks. You don't want to miss this. This is in exactly 2 weeks, right here at this very same radio station, between 10 a.m. and noon, with Glenn Coble. Listen to James Anderson. I believe James will be here. His first time at our new studio, speaking with Glenn and speaking with listeners all about the great nature and the Tallgrass Trail in the Park District in Marion. There's also a spring wildflower hike. My goodness sakes, that's hard to say. A spring wildflower hike coming up in 2 weeks, the 29th, at Myers Woods at 5 p.m. But again, the big event in 2 weeks from today, 10 to 12 in the morning, Glenn speaks to our official WWGH naturalist Mr. James Anderson right here on the radio. That should be a radio show worth listening to, so cancel your social plans for the late morning hours of Thursday the 29th. James definitely is a knowledgeable, personable guy, and you do want to listen. Your ears and brain cells will certainly thank you. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. We have had some transmitter issues, which really does kind of stink because we had several days of transmitter issues earlier. Now, I guess thanks to some power problem, the transmitter issues have unfortunately made an encore. But hopefully, it will be a short-lived problem, and things will be back to normal very soon. Adam here talking about technology, politics, local events, other programs on this radio station, and who knows what else. Whatever might tickle your fancy, we are inviting you to call, talk to us about, send me a message on Facebook, watch my live video, many ways to partake in this program. And the phone number again is 740-383-9944. Earlier this month, a large amount of data of over 500 million Facebook users was posted to a hacker forum and is available to download for practically free. Now, that's not from a recent data breach. We talk about internet security. We talked about security and privacy and decryption earlier in the show. But this is from a data breach in 2019. But it has not been widely available until this year. The data was posted to an English-speaking cybercriminal forum called Raid Forums by a hacker going by the handle Tom Liner. Yvonne Riggi is a cyber threat intelligence analyst with Digital Shadows, a San Francisco-based provider of digital risk protection solutions. And he said the Facebook data was first listed for sale on Raid Forums on June 6th of 2020. But the initial sale allegedly asked users for $30,000 in exchange for the data. Now, Tom Liner's post exposed the data for 8 forum tokens, and that's about $2.52, quite a drop from the original price of $30,000. The data has been unlocked by about 3,800 people, with Tom Liner making almost $10,000. Michael Izbitsky is a technical evangelist with Salt Security in California. He added that at the time of the incident, 2 years ago, Facebook indicated the data of 220 million users was scraped prior to the company restricting access to the platform to preserve users' privacy. He said it's plausible that this is partially the old data set resurfaced and combined with other scraped data sets, since the number has now ballooned to 533 million users. In a statement provided by Facebook, they said it is confident the posted information is old data that originated from a weakness in its contact importer feature that was discovered and fixed in August of 2019. At that time, they explained, Facebook removed people's ability to directly find others using their phone number across both Facebook and Instagram. And again, Instagram was originally a separate company, but Facebook acquired them several years ago. That was a function that could be exploited using sophisticated software code to imitate Facebook and provide a phone number to find which users it belonged to. So again, these hackers are very smart and they're sneaky, but they're also very evil. Now, using that software, according to Facebook, it had been possible to input multiple phone numbers and, by running an algorithm, connect numbers to specific users. Now, Facebook never returned the phone number. The attacker instead provided the numbers by which to do the matching. Through the process, it was possible at that time to query user profiles and obtain a limited number of publicly available information. Now, this data is old. It's almost 2 years old, but certainly that's fairly recent. Of course, with computers, time does go by very fast. But the data, again, even though it's from 2019, has plenty of residual value to hackers, according to cybersecurity experts. Andrew Barrett, he is from CoalFire, a Colorado-based provider of cybersecurity advisory services. He said, admittedly, the data's value has diminished as a saleable asset. But the data is still a ready-made playbook for identity theft, impersonation, and potential Facebook account takeover, which often has far more reaching circumstances if Facebook accounts are used to access other sites or services. Look at the number of fitness tracking systems which log relevant healthcare data that leverage a Facebook login to get in. Also, it is likely that most phone numbers are still active. I mean, I've had my same phone number for over 25 years, so we're talking about a phone number from less than 2 years ago. Most people's phone numbers haven't changed in that amount of time. Anyway, most of those phone numbers are still active and remain linked to legitimate Facebook users. Cyber criminals can use information like phone numbers, emails, and full names to launch targeted engineering attacks, like phishing, where you impersonate your bank, the IRS, your neighbor, whatever. It's not the email, it's not the from address that it says that it is, as well as spam. And we all know what spam is, not the kind that comes in the can that you eat. It is the junk mail, and, you know, 99% of mail, at least, is spam. So it's a continuing, increasing problem. Most people are now working from home due to the current situation, and these attacks could be effective if personalized to target victims. Setu Kulkarni is from White Hat Security in San Jose. They provide application security, and he said, now more than ever, it's important to seriously reconsider using phone numbers as logins or sharing phone numbers with apps. Switching phone numbers is inordinately more taxing than switching email IDs. So many times you log into an app like Facebook with your phone number, and these people are saying not to do it, and I would agree. I prefer not to use my phone number as a login. I want to use an email address. And since I have multiple email addresses, I will spread them out among the apps, which is what I suggest. Having access to all the data may be a golden nugget for criminals orchestrating large spam or phishing campaigns, many of which have been tailored to pandemic themes, such as the famous stimulus checks. Mask politics, there's a biggie, certainly one of my favorites, geographical restrictions or track and trace scenarios. Whether it's more or less valuable is complex because of the general state of the global economy. It might be harder to scam an individual for a higher amount of money. However, it might be possible to scam a larger volume of people for smaller amounts that are on trend from a pandemic perspective. Saryu Nayar is from Gurukul, a threat intelligence company in El Segundo, California. And she said, the global scope of the pandemic can be an asset to scammers armed with data from the Facebook breach. Every country is in different stages of grappling with their COVID-19 vaccine rollout, and cyber criminals can absolutely use this data to socially engineer vaccine misinformation. She said, I can already see the targeted phishing email headlines. Get your vaccine today. New vaccination center near you. Find out which of your neighbors have COVID-19. Choose which vaccine you get with our new app. That could certainly cause a hubbub. Smart woman there with her perspectives. It's quite scary, to say the least. Daniel Markison is with NordVPN in Cyprus. He said that his company found that vaccine-related Google searches in the United States grew by 1,900% since January. I mean, mean, not surprising. He said this shows that Americans are becoming increasingly anxious to get their COVID-19 vaccine and might be an easy target for hackers. He added that in December of last year, Interpol, the international police force, issued an alert to law enforcement across 194 countries, warning them to prepare for crimes revolving around COVID-19 vaccines. Investigators have also reported vaccine-related activities on the dark web. Over the years, the social network Facebook has been the target of a number of headline-grabbing data breaches. Paul Bischoff is with Comparatech, a reviews, advice, and information website for consumer security products. He said Facebook has been hit with data incidents from every angle. It has left user data sitting on exposed servers, allowed app developers to abuse data to user accounts, and left bugs in code that hackers could exploit to steal data. On top of that, most Facebook profiles are public, which means third parties can scrape them using bots. Data security and privacy was never high in the minds of the Facebook developers when they built the platform. On the other hand, the platform was all about monetizing the user's data. When you design products or platforms that start with no attention to security and privacy, it becomes very hard to go back and retrofit those capabilities. A little scary, but also informative. Things you need to know about safety, privacy, security, and hacking on social media. Good advice from some smart people across this great world. Adam Lepp here, getting ready to say goodbye. I tell you, as my mama used to say, time flies when you're having fun. Had a lot of fun today talking about computer security, social media, staying safe on the internet, and again, a big judicial decision handed down yesterday morning. And I think folks here in Marion and all over the state, if not all over the country, will be discussing this for quite a while. News, features, weather, previews of past and upcoming programs are forthcoming. I will talk to you again Monday at about 10:15 a.m. Thank you for listening. Hey, have a great day out there. Adam, the Computer Guy, .com.